Were there any changes at the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary during this period?
Yes. Well, when I came back from Canada in 74, I actually got a proper job as a half-time registrar. They were just beginning to produce these jobs at that time. And then eventually I became a half-time senior registrar, which meant 8 years because it would normally be 4 years, but that suited me fine. And so at least then I had part-time permanent employment, which hadn't been possible before. Changes in the infirmary itself, well, of course, there were blood glucose monitoring became widely available. Dr. Duncan had done that way back in the 1960s because there were sticks called dextrose sticks, which showed if the blood sugar was very low. And he had used those in patients with problems with hypos. Again, I think very ahead of his time, before anything was published about blood glucose monitoring. I saw Leslie teaching people to do that. By the time I came back, blood glucose monitoring was becoming more common. And, of course, that was a tremendous advance, helping us with everybody, particularly including the pregnant patients, to look after the diabetes really well. The insulins kept changing and there became more of them right at the very beginning, because when you prescribed insulin, you just got insulin. Sometimes it was Boots, sometimes it was Allen Hanbury's, sometimes it was Welcome. But as time went on, more companies became involved. Novo and Nordisk, which eventually joined together, and then there was Welcome still, and then Eli Lilly came in. And, of course, right at the end of my time, Aventis came in. And so the insulins had got more varied. Not really very different. People wouldn't like it to say in the old days it was very similar to the way it is now. But in the old days, we used an insulin called PZI, protamine zinc insulin, which was a long-acting insulin. And then we gave soluble insulin before breakfast and again before the evening meal. Very occasionally, we also gave it before lunch, which in some ways was like the basal bolus method that we use today. And so we were able to adjust insulins and get really good control from the 70s with blood glucose monitoring. And non-insulin-dependent diabetes, as we called it then, type 2 diabetes, as we call it now, was already becoming a bit commoner. And Dr. Duncan had always used metformin. He always maintained that it was only fenformin that caused lactic acidosis, and metformin was fine, and so I was brought up with, right from the early days, using metformin. We continued to use it all the time that I was working in the clinic. Another thing that I realized later that Dr. Duncan was ahead of his time in doing, or maybe there were other people who didn't publish it either, but we had a system called the surgical diabetic system, where one of the registrars could, a week at a time, would go around all the surgical wards and the obstetric unit and the eye pavilion and make sure that the diabetics were being looked after properly. From the 1950s, Dr. Duncan had used insulin in a drip intravenous to control a diabetes over the time of surgery and over the time of delivery. That was described quite a few years later. But we were all brought up used to doing that.